All right. It is good to see you on this 10th day of September 2023. And today, I'm going to try to finish out this very first lesson in our second part of this series entitled Responding to God's Faithful Intervention. You know, God is faithful, and He wants His children to be faithful. He wants His people to be found faithful. And I want to be found faithful, don't you? I want to be found faithful when I stand before the Lord. I want to hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." We're in the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter number 18. Deuteronomy chapter number 18. Our theme verse is found in chapter 18, verse number 19, and it said this, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him." The lesson, again, is entitled, God Gave Prophets. Now, last Sunday, we looked at the first couple points on this, how that God gave prophets. God gave men of God to preach the word of God and give the message of God that God wanted His people to know. We looked last week at some of the things that God warned them about. And He warned them about the pagan practices that were in the land that they were going into. In Canaan land, there were many pagan practices. They did not worship God. They chose to worship other things and just to put God aside. And we looked at that last week, the pagan practices, the detestable customs. We looked at all of that last week. Then we looked at the punishment for their abominable works and the things that they did wrong. And we looked then at what God expected from His people in verse 13 and 14. And remember what He said? God said, "Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For those nations which thou shalt possess hearkened unto observers of times and diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee to do so." God desired for His people to be spiritually right with Him. Not to turn to the left hand or to the right hand, but to stay on track with God. And you know what that took? It took them believing God's word, trusting God's word, staying in God's word. And folks, our pastor says it all the time, but we need to stay in the book and allow the book to stay in us. That's what we need to do today. We've got to trust God and take Him at His word. And then we came to point number two I wanted you to look at here. After God gave them these instructions and warned them about those people and told them not to forget where God found them, then He gives them, in the next few verses here, God gives them His promise of hope and deliverance. Beginning in the very next verses here, He shows them about the promised Messiah, the promised prophet, okay? Now, if you'll remember, over in the book of John, when John was on the scene and he was teaching the folks about the one that would come, the Messiah that would come, the scribes and the Pharisees and some of the religious crowd came to him and asked him, "Art thou that prophet that should come?" And what did John tell him? He said, "No, I'm not that prophet." Well, here is where God is telling His people about that prophet, that one that would come, the promised prophet. Now, look at what Moses' prediction here talks about in verse number 15. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse number 15. Here the Bible said, "The Lord God, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet." And notice that word is capitalized. That is a name. That is describing someone. Okay? It's their name. "He will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him shall ye hearken." Now, I want you to hold your finger right there, and I want you to go back over in the New Testament to the book of John, chapter number 1. John chapter number 1. And in the book of John, the New Testament, John chapter 1, I want you to see something here. John chapter 1, verse number 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And I want you to understand something. We're in the New Testament, but John was the last Old Testament prophet that prophesied about the coming Messiah, the promised one, the promised prophet. And there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. Now notice that word light is capitalized. Who was the light? The Lord Jesus. And he is the same one that was that prophet. And here's the reason that he sent that light, that all men through him might believe. It wasn't through John, it wasn't through religion, it wasn't through good deeds or things like that, but it was through the one who would come, the light of the world, that prophet that would come, that was the Lord Jesus Christ. And look what he said, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own people. He came unto the chosen people, the nation of Israel. He came unto his own, and what happened? His own received him not. But look at this good news, amen? Look at verse 12. But, it says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. There's that new birth that was going to come, and Jesus would introduce that new birth. Every man had to be born again. Every person had to be born again. And look at this, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Man, that was the Savior, amen? That was Jesus. That was that prophet that is prophesied back in the Old Testament scriptures that the Jewish people were longing for, they were looking for, they were watching for him. Now, I want you to go down to verse number 20 here. Let's go to verse 19. John chapter 1, verse 19. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ, the promised one, all right, the anointed one. I'm not that one. They thought he was Christ. Look at verse 21. And they asked him, what then? Art thou Elias? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? Look at it. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. Then said they unto him, who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? And he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as saith the prophet Isaiah. Folks, listen to me. That prophet that was to come, that prophet that John pointed people to, is the same one that Moses is talking about here in the book of Deuteronomy. And he's pointing them to the fact. And look at verse 15. He said, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him shall ye hearken. God would send many, many prophets throughout the years and the centuries. God would send prophet after prophet that would speak before the people of God and point them to the God of their deliverance, of their salvation. But ultimately, God was pointing them to that prophet, that promised prophet that would come and be unto the people the one that would deliver them, and he would be the one that they would hearken to. But I want you to look here in verses 16 and 17. I want you to see Israel's request. This is what Israel asked God for. Now look at what he said. Here in verse 16, this is a fulfillment, okay, of another passage of Scripture. And I want, while you're holding your finger in Deuteronomy chapter 18, turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 5 just a minute. Deuteronomy chapter 5. God's people requested something of God back here in this chapter, Deuteronomy chapter 5. And we're going to look at beginning in verse 22. And in Deuteronomy chapter 5, and I'll just turn there in my Bible too. I've got it written down, but I want you to look at this. The Bible said here, beginning in verse number 22, these words the Lord spake unto all your assembly in the mount out of the midst of the fire, of the cloud, and the thick darkness with a great voice, and he added no more. And he wrote them in two tables of stone, and delivered them unto me. And it came to pass, when you heard the voice of the out of the midst of the darkness from the mountain, for the mountain did burn with fire, that ye came near unto me, even all the heads of your tribes and your elders. And ye said, behold, the Lord our God has showed us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God doth talk with man, and he liveth. Now therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God anymore, then we will die. They were scared to death, folks, when they heard the voice of God. But look at the next verse. For who is there of all flesh that hath heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of the fire as we have and lived? Go thou near. And they're telling Moses. It said, Moses, go thou near and hear all that the Lord our God shall say. And speak thou unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee, and we will hear it and do it. And the Lord heard the voice of your words when you spake unto me. This is Moses talking now. And the Lord said unto me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people, which they have spoken unto me. They have well said all that they have spoken. Oh, that there were such an heart in them, that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Go say to them, get you into your tents again. What we're looking at in Deuteronomy chapter 18, here in verse number 16, if you look in verse number 16, the Bible said, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire anymore, that I die not. This was a fulfillment of that passage back in Deuteronomy chapter 5. And God wanted to make sure that they understood, you know what, I've heard your cry. I know your fear. But you know what, my desire is that you would truly live for me, obey me, hear my words, and do what I've said. Now we see that the intent of the people truly was to obey the Lord God. That was their intention. That was their desire. And their desire was real. It was sincere. And we read here in verse number 17 now, and the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. God said, listen, if you're going to listen, you better listen well. But if you're not going to hearken to it, then you're going to have to give account for your disobedience unto me. Now, look in verses 18 and 19 again at God's expectations. God expected his people to do right to take heed to his words. And folks, listen to me today. God expects no less of you and me today. We have been born of Christ. We've been made new creatures in Christ. We are his children now. And that came to pass through the new birth. And when Christ birthed us into the family of God, his desire for us is the same desire that each of us have for our children, our grandchildren, that they will love us, that they will listen to the words of wisdom that we give to them, and that they will obey us in the things that are right to do. That was God's desire for his people. So once again here in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 18 and 19, God says, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. God's people had begged for God to give them a man that would teach them truth, that would teach them the ways of God, that would stand between them and Almighty God as a mediator, as one that would stand between the two and bring the two together. Now, the man of God, as you read all through these Old Testament prophets, the man of God stood in the gap, so to speak, between the people, before God and before the people. But there would ultimately come a mediator, one who would stand between holy God and sinful man. And that one would be Christ Jesus, that prophet, that promised one. So now here in verse number 18, we see how God says, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren. And then God tells them, I'm going to raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee. Like unto thee, like what Moses was preaching unto them, like what Moses was saying unto them, telling them the words of God. And God says, I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. That's what Jesus did when he came. He spoke not his words, but what the Father had commanded him to speak. You remember him saying that all through the New Testament? He tried to tell the Pharisees, the scribes, the Levites, all the religious crowd, I'm speaking the words of God. But they would not take heed. And you see, the man of God would not only be called of God for a divinely specific purpose in teaching the people the word of God, but that man would be expected to speak unto the people the exact words that God put into his mouth to speak. Jesus said in Deuteronomy chapter 8, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Amen. That's what scares me today with these new Bible versions, okay, that have come out. Listen, I want an every word Bible, and I have it right here. Amen. There are so many things taken out, tens of thousands of things taken out and changed. And I told you several months ago about the newest Bible that's come out from this NIV and CEV and TSV versions, the homosexual Bible, okay? The transgender Bible that has taken all the things that God says is wrong and made them in their own eyes to be right. God help us. God help us. Listen, God's man will not speak lies. God's man will speak truth. And that's what God is trying to help them to understand. That's our pastor's job today, to teach unto us truth. That's what breaks my heart when people reject truth and only want to go with their own way of thinking, and they reject the words of the man of God and say, no, I'm going to do things my way. I'm going to do it my way. When folks come to me a lot of times, they come to me and say, listen, I don't understand what this thing with the preacher, you know, what he's preaching about and all this stuff. And I said, well, here's what you need to do. You need to get your Bible and go and sit down and talk to the pastor. and make a phone call. Just talk to Mrs. Mooring. Set up an appointment where you can spend some time with him and sit down and ask your question. Bring your Bible and be ready to receive from the Word of God what the answer is. And you know what? Most of the time, I would probably say 95, 96% of the time, folks refuse to do that. You know why they don't want to do that? Because they truly do not want truth. They don't want truth. They want to believe whatever they want to believe. That's the way the world was. Listen, John wrote it. He came unto his own. And what happened? His own received him not. They didn't want to hear truth. Listen, remember when the Sadducees and the scribes were fussing? And we play this part in the Living Cross. And Jesus asked him, he says, the message that John preached, was it of men or was it of God? And they're debating over there. They're trying to decide, well, if we say it's of God, you know, boy, we're going to be in trouble. And the other prophet or the other priest says, but if we say it was of John, what would the people say? Because, you know, they all believe John was a man of God. And then they come back and say, well, we just can't tell. And Jesus looks at him and says, well, I can't tell you either from what power, from what source I do these miracles. And boy, they got all mad. They knew truth, but they refused to receive truth. And that was what was happening. God expects his people to search out truth. And listen to me today. That's our pastor's job. That's my job. And folks, that's your job, to teach others truth. We had someone that left our Sunday school class years ago, and she came to me because she had a situation with her family, and her family was not doing things right. And I said, well, she said, what am I supposed to do? And I said, well, let's see what the Word of God says. Amen. And when I showed her what the Word of God says, well, that's going to make them mad if I tell them that. And I said, well, I don't want to make anybody mad, but you ask, this is what the Word of God says. She said, well, I can't do that. I'm just going to go ahead and do what they said to you. And she left and has never come back. And you know what? I was reminded of the scriptures that Jesus spoke to his disciples when he preached unto the people in John chapter number 6, how that they, you know, he was the bread of life. And they didn't want to accept that truth. And many of his disciples, the Bible said, went away from serving him. They served him no more. And Jesus turned around and looked at the 12. And he said, will ye also go away? Will ye also go away? And while the disciples are sitting there looking at one another, trying to figure out what they're going to say, old Peter steps up and says, guys, I don't know about you, but listen, I know he's the truth. We believe that thou art the Son of God, and thou hast the words of life, the words of truth. And folks, that's where we've got to decide, where is truth today? It's in the Word of God. We need to search it out. We need to search for it diligently. And then you know what? We need to pray for those that have been blinded to the things that are not true. We need to pray for them. Listen, if we don't pray for them, okay? I always think about this. If somebody had not prayed for me to have my eyes opened one day, man, I could still be lost in my sin. And were it not for the grace of God, that could still be my situation, still lost in sin. It could be still your situation today. Folks, we need to search out truth. We need to search out truth. God then says, I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. That's my job as a Sunday school teacher, as a man of God to preach his word. I have to do that very same thing. And as a child of God, you need to speak the truth of the Word of God. Speak it in love. Man, share it in love. Let folks know what God has done. But I want you to notice here, that word prophet, again, is capitalized. And I want you to understand that ultimately it is referring to God's prophet, God's own Son, who was promised to come into the world, Messiah, Emmanuel, which being interpreted is what? God with us. That was the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we look at verse number 19. Look at verse number 19. Not only did God expect the men he called as prophets to preach and to teach and declare all the words that God gave unto them, but God also expected the people to hear and to obey his earthly prophets, those messengers of God, for not to obey would be what? Sin. To not obey would be sin. It was true then, and it's true today. Listen, when we choose not to obey truth, not to do what we know what God says do, we're sinning. Turn over to the book of James just a moment. This verse just came to my mind. I was speaking to somebody about this earlier today. James chapter number 4. And in James chapter number 4, James said something here. Let me find it. Oh, I can't find that. That's 1 Peter. No wonder I couldn't find it. Huh? Good night. Okay. James. It says 1 Peter on one side of the page, and it says James on the other side of the page. So, all right. One book from the other. James chapter 4, verse 17. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good. You know the truth. You know what God expects. You know what God has said. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good, and what's the next few words say? And doeth it not. They make a choice. They choose not to obey truth. They choose not to obey and to do what God says is right. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what? Sin. It is sin. Folks, when we know to do right and yet we choose to do wrong, it's sin. When we know the truth and we search out excuses for not doing the truth, it is sin. And folks, we've got to be careful with that today. We've got to be careful with it. God expects his people to do what was right. Now listen, I thank God for a good pastor. I thank God for a pastor that leads us every time he comes back with a situation. I had somebody ask me about drinking one time, and they gave me verses out of the Old Testament, the book of Deuteronomy, as a matter of fact, that said it seemed if you read only the one verse, it would seem like God was saying it's all right to drink alcoholic wine. And I said, well, let's go back and look at the context of this scripture. And when you read it in context, it was quite clear that God's people are not supposed to drink alcoholic wine. Amen, okay? Amen. And I took it to Pastor. And I said, Pastor, I just want to make sure I told them right. I mean, I know this is what God's word says. And he said, well, let's look at the Bible. The very first words came out of Pastor's mouth. Let's look at what the Bible says. And I said, I already got it right here. I got my finger in it right here. And he looked at it and he said, yeah, you know what? You're right. That's exactly what it says. And folks, listen to me today. We need to understand something. It's a sad day. It's a sad day when those in authority, those pastors, those preachers, those that are supposed to be teaching truth, fall by the wayside and they say, well, if I teach truth, my members are going to leave. And if I don't do this, then, you know, it's really vague because they've got these other versions that they're using. It is vague in those versions because they've deleted those things. They make it sound like it's all right to do sin. But it's a sad day when the man of God that is called to lead his people and called to do that which is right refuses to do that which is right. And many of those men of God that came down from Moses and all the way up until the time of Christ, they knew what the Word of God said, but they wouldn't teach it. They wouldn't teach it as truth. They would not teach it as a way of life, a way of living. They wouldn't do that. And folks, it's a sad day when the people choose to disobey the Lord, the Word of God, the Lord God himself, and when they heap up themselves teachers with itching ears, and they say, well, I like this better because this appeals more to my flesh. Listen to me today. We're not to do it that way. We're to obey, we're to hear, and we're to obey the Word of God. The sad thing is that there would be men that would come on the scene who would not speak the truth of the Word of God. They wouldn't speak the words that God had commanded them to speak. And those men would be used of Satan to lead the people astray and to lead them from the words of God instead of unto the words of God. And that leads us here to verses 20 through 22, where we see the presumptuous prophet. Now, the punishment for presumption, look at this. I want you to see this just a moment. He said in verse 20, "But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die." That's what God thought about distorting his word. That's what God thought about it. When a man who says he's called of God to say a certain thing unto the people, which truly is not from God, it is an offense unto Almighty God. And God says, even that prophet shall die. That's what God thinks about false prophets. And folks, that's a serious thing. And that's why when pastor stands behind the pulpit, or when I stand up here to teach you or to preach anywhere, brother, it's a serious thing. I want to know that I'm preaching what thus saith the Lord. Amen. You say, why does it take so long to figure out verses and to study to teach a lesson? Because I want to make sure I'm doing it right. That's why. Amen. I want to make sure I'm giving you truth. And that's what pastor wants. Pastor wants to teach truth. He wants us to teach truth. God wants us. He's called us to do that. And boy, do we ever have a lot of presumptuous preachers and teachers in our world today that just teach and preach whatever they want to preach and teach. Listen, I got a video last week somebody sent to me of one of these prophets, okay, in our world today. And he took his coat off and breathed like that and waved his coat. And all the people for four or five rows in that church all fell back on the ground and just fell out in the floor. I thought, man, he needs some Lysol or something to spray in his mouth. Or, not Lysol. What is it you put in your mouth? Scope or something like that. Yeah, Scope. He needs to use a different mouthwash if he can do that. Man, get him some Right Guard or something put on there. My soul. Knock out that many people. And they were all thrilled about everybody falling on the floor and shaking and carrying on. And when they get up, they're speaking in some unknown jibber-jabber that nobody understands. And they're standing there praising God for all these things. Find that for me in the Bible. I did find it. I found it in the Bible. You got quiet. I found it. And it is the incident where a man came to Jesus because he had a son that was a lunatic. Yes. That cast himself into the fire and did all these things and foamed at the mouth. And you know what God, the Lord Jesus did? God in the flesh did? He cast the devils out of that young man. It was not of God. Folks, you listen to me today. Many presumptuous prophets are living our world today. They have an arrogant and haughty spirit. And boy, they are self-willed. They're self-confident in such things that don't spiritually profit anything. They don't help you with anything. God said even that prophet should die. So I want you to see the test that God gave for presumption. God wanted his people to know truth. And, you know, we have an old saying here in the United States. The proof is in the pudding. Yeah. You know that? Yeah. Last night, I took my wife. It was storming and everything. I'd gotten finished at church. And we needed to go get some groceries and things. And I said, listen, just to save you a little time, I'm hungry. I hadn't eaten all day. Let's go down to Plum Crazy. So we went down to Plum Crazy. I fit right in that little place there. And I ordered my flounder, and I get the kid's flounder. And the reason I get the kids flounder is, number one, it's half price of the adult flounder. And number two, it comes with dessert. It comes with dessert. And I got chocolate pudding with mine last night. And oh, they brought me out a thing about that tall, filled with chocolate pudding. And I told my wife last night, I said, the proof is in the pudding. And the pudding is good tonight. And you know what? God, the only way for me to know that that pudding was good was to taste it and see. David, the psalmist, said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see. Try him out. And God sent a test. And look here at verses 21 and 22. God gave the test for presumption. He said, and if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet has spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of him. Because God knew his people, and because God loved his people, he wanted his people to know without a doubt who his men were and who they were not. And folks, there is proof, ways to test in the Word of God so that we know who is of God and who is not of God. And God gave the people a twofold way to determine if what they were being told truly was the Word of God or not. Look in verse number 22, first of all. God said that his prophet would speak not in his name or in some other man's name, but he would speak in God's name, in the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. When these folks puff up their own names and they puff up their own denomination or whatever else, listen, there is no denomination, no name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's only one name, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. No other name. And then look at number two, verse 22. God told the people in the last part of that verse, he said, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that this thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet has spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. If you go back into Deuteronomy chapter 13, and I don't have time to read it all this morning. It's a good chapter. It's not but 18 verses, but it starts out, if there rise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams that giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and that sign or the wonder come to pass whereof he spake unto thee, sayest, thou shalt let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, let us serve them, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And he goes down through here and he gives them how to determine if that person is of God or not. And if you look at verse number 5 in chapter 13, he says, and that dreamer or that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he hath spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in, so shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee. Folks, we need to understand, God says, don't be afraid of them. You turn aside and you put them off and you don't follow after them. Now, what's the conclusion of the whole matter? Simply this. God gave prophets, men of God, for a purpose. He gave the man of God for a purpose. And that was to help his people know the ways of God so that they would choose to listen to the word of God and to do what God said do and obey the commandments of God. That's the reason. And although there were many good and godly prophets through the years, there were also many who proved themselves to be false prophets and who were said to be evil in the days that they reigned. They led the people of God in ways that were not God's ways. And folks, if people are leading you in some other path other than God's ways, stay away from them. Turn it off. We know that that is not the true man of God. One day, God was saying here in Deuteronomy that one day he would send his prophet, the ultimate one, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. He would be born of a virgin. We saw that in Micah chapter 5. We saw that in Isaiah. We saw that in the Old Testament scriptures. He would speak the words of God without compromise, without apology, and he would prove himself to be very God in the form of man living upon this earth, full of grace and truth. That's our Savior, folks. God gave him for one purpose. It was God who gave his only begotten Son for the sins of this old world. He gave him for you. He gave him for me. And folks, we need to take heed. It's still God and God alone today that calls men to preach his word. Listen, we're not mama called and daddy sent. We're called of God to do that which God said do. And that's why it is a fearful thing to stand and to preach the word of God. It ought to be something that causes us to tremble because we want to teach the word of God in truth and in righteousness. Listen, stay in the book. And folks, let the book stay in you. And you'll know which man of God is truly the man of God. Let's pray this morning. Father, Lord, I thank you for this lesson. And I praise you, Lord, for sending that prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, the one that would be the final authority in all things. Lord, thank you, God, for giving us your word. And I pray now, Lord, today that you would help us to stay in the book and stay in the word of God so that we would know those that teach falsely from those who teach the truth. Help us, Lord, today to stand in the power of your word. And Lord, I pray that for somebody today listening to the sound of my voice that's never been saved, God, that you'll draw them through your word, through the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, they would be drawn unto you and they would seek salvation through Christ alone. We love you today. Thank you for the word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for being here today. We love you.